The following is a RockRadioShow.com exclusive.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
This is PC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack, and you're listening to the greatest rack.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Fly, my pretties, fly.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 because Taker hate me. Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Bunch of our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to this archive on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or somehow this magically appears on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you would like to follow our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/WTRLive, and subscribe for free, well, you can use your Twitch Prime by doing that. It's the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen. And if you're in a following mood, you can follow my channel, twitch.tv/LinzWard, which eventually, once I get my internet fixed, which will be never, I will start streaming again. But we are here. We are live recording this. We aren't live talking to you, unfortunately, but we are here to talk all about NXT TakeOver in your house, which was Saturday night, or not Saturday night, Sunday night. Sunday night. Live on the WWE Network.
I take full responsibility for that.
It's all Brent's fault. He screwed me up. Anyway, I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer / co-host / handyman, Sir Rockin.
I just shake my head. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward, to join in on the conversation when you're listening to this archive podcast on any platform, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. You know, it just searches the Rock Radio Show when you're listening to this show. Because that's how you do it. How you do the thing.
And as you can tell, we aren't alone. We have guests that have come over to visit.
Introducing the NXT analyst.
Finally, we come to my number two man. His name? Number two.
TJ Omega.
What exactly do you do, Mr. Number Two?
That's my business. If you'll excuse me, I have to go to the little boys' room.
How do you know I call it that?
We just know.
Recycling. That's creepy.
And we have someone else.
From the Super Kick Party, the elite assistant to the assistant regional NXT analyst, the intern Kane Kittens.
No. We talked AEW last night. That's the wrong podcast, Rock. That's a bad producer. Bad producer.
What do you mean?
We talked AEW. That's not Sunday night stuff. That's Saturday night stuff.
So I need to play a different bumper for you then? Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, God. You have one queued, don't you?
I mean, I can hit one right about now.
From 20,000 leagues under the sea, the busiest shark of them all, the assistant to the assistant regional shark.
And here comes Dakota Kai. Remember, she didn't. What the hell?
Intern Shark Kane Kittens.
Is that better?
Allegedly. Hypothetically, something like that could have happened.
They fought tonight, Brent.
Yes, and Tegan got retribution. It was beautiful. Although, well, we'll talk about it during her match.
So NXT TakeOver took place in your house.
And before we get into the show, we need to talk about all the little touches, all the little throwbacks, everything they did, all the Easter eggs, because this was just brilliant how they did this.
Oh, it was fucking great.
For starters, we had Todd Pettinger redoing the original In Your House intro.
They pulled him out of mothballs, for God's sake. He looks more like Gary Shandling as the years go by.
And what was cool is, like, the graphics set up for in the intro was stuff they did for previous In Your Houses back in the day. And it wasn't just one. There were multiple different ones in it. So you actually have to pay attention to the whole thing to catch them all.
I loved the tease of, and one lucky viewer will not win a house.
They will not be winning a house tonight. No. Sadly. Sadly. They won't be getting the house.
The 900 number.
Oh, God.
We'll get to that.
The WWE shop plug where they're like, he's like, you could call 1-900 WWE shop. Todd.
Wait.
We don't do the 900 numbers anymore. Apparently, technology has passed me by. And then they cut to the AOL chat with Sean and Hunter and an old computer. Road Dog
knocking over the In Your House sign.
It was fantastic.
I just love that they threw that back to Sean, like trying to figure out how to type. I was hoping they would do that, but the fact that they just did it and then Sean didn't have a mouse. Like, you could tell, like, he at one point he goes for the mouse. He's like, oh.
It's not there.
It's not there. Okay. And Hunter's like smacking the old monitor, like they got one of the old big monitors and everything.
The CRT monitor.
I popped so hard when I saw the CRT monitor. I was like, oh shit!
They found one.
It was great. Adam Cole, Micro Pro.
Yes!
It was amazing.
And the paid sponsorship for the ice cream bar sandwiches things, cookie sandwiches.
Promotional consideration.
Paid for by the following.
Which I have not heard sponsorship phrased that way in so long.
I really wish that they had pulled out the old Sir Alfred Hayes audio for that, just to really drive home it. But as Rock said, at least they got William Regal. It was the nice touch.
It was
one of those things like I was like, well, if I can't get the original, this is a good substitute.
Uncle William, everybody. Uncle William did us proud tonight.
So we got two of those, men and women, involved in the ads, which was great.
I just want to know how many brain freezes happened on the ice cream sandwiches. I just want to know. I don't know why. I just do.
There were a lot of extra laps run that day by all of those people with NXT to work off the cookie sandwiches.
I mean, actually, technically, they were burning them off because they've done nothing but stand for TV shows. But I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough.
That's a lot of energy and calories burned pretending to be excited.
And they were up for the challenge tonight because they were doing chants and everything. They were trying to give you the full takeover atmosphere.
Oh, there were some good chants
tonight. They went above and beyond the Call of Duty tonight.
They did the NXT faithful proud tonight. They have learned our ways, and they were able to do us better than we can do us, which is scary.
It is kind of scary.
But then y'all, we have to talk about the set. Because Rock demanded it. Rock wanted it. They pulled it out of mothballs.
We got a version of the old set, which was fantastic.
And then the best part of this was it's a smart house. It has a Nest thermostat, and I think it has a Ring doorbell.
Yeah, it at least has the Ring, which we'll talk about when a certain match pops up.
Well, no, I know it has the Nest for when he came out, because I saw the Nest, because he adjusts it. And then there's the picture of Doc Hendricks sitting there on the wall.
So, yeah, we'll talk about that when we get to the match. The show opened tonight with a live performance from Code Orange.
Hey! I was very worried about the man behind the girl that was singing. I guess I couldn't tell if he was like the guitarist or the bassist. He looked like he was going to hurl multiple times, but I think he's fine.
The lead singer had, I don't know what kind of look they had on their face. Was it anger? Was it constipation? Was it... I just couldn't really tell. They just had this weird contorted... But even when they weren't singing, Lindsay, it was that weird look of like, I'm trying to diagnose it, and I couldn't.
It's metal. It's metal. That is the metal look. It's not anger, it is not anything. It is just straight up hardcore metal.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, so we get to the opening contest of the evening. It was Shotzi Blackheart, Tegan Nox, and Mia Yim taking Dakota Kai. Raquel Gonzalez and Candice LeRae, and I guess the only thing I could say to describe this one, it just kept moving, and was really, really, really good.
Wait.
Candice's fairy wings.
Thank you, Lindsay. I was going to say, so we had everyone roll out. You had Shotzi with her tank, Tegan looking amazing as Captain Marvel again, Mia with her usual entrance. You have Dakota and Raquel coming out as their buddies. And then Candice came out, the little pixie gone to hell. And holy shit, did she have a nice set of wings and very cool entrance gear.
The poison pixie.
Mm-hmm.
She looks so evil, yet so adorable at the same time. How does she do it?
Talent.
Magic.
I mean, if she's a pixie, that's a given, yeah.
But, I mean, overall, I felt like this match was good. There was a couple awkward places in this match, just because it's like, I think when they did the dives on the outside, like, the first one was a little awkward, the second one felt really awkward, but then they made up for it with Tegan doing the mulligan round off the top rope,
that
or top turnbuckle.
That was really nice.
That was pretty.
That one turned out well. Yeah, the Shotzi dive didn't look like they were ready, and then Mia had to wait for everyone to get back before she could do her dive. So, it did make it look a little bit disjointed, but then Teague saved it all with her jump and got everything back on track.
It was that hot, fast-paced opening six-person tag you won on a show, and everyone got their stuff in. You had me and Candice go brawl through the garage, leaving the other
big beast out.
Leaving the other four in the ring, and we got Lady Kane action, Brent. We got Lady Kane action.
She finally did the choke slam properly. Okay, everyone who knows me knows I adore me some Mrs. Nox.
Really?
But for the past couple of matches, they've had her doing the choke slam, and it just hasn't looked right. Mostly because she's been doing it from like elevated positions, like top rope or second rope, and it just requires the person to essentially fall backward. But tonight, she actually was able to do it on the floor to Dakota, and it actually looked good. She did Kane proud tonight.
Is it bad? I kind of want the finisher to be called Nox County.
Okay, point Omega.
Yes. I just like how they referenced calling her Lady Kane too. Like, that was my favorite part. They're like, oh, because she went for it early in the match on Tegan, or not on Tegan, on Dakota. And they're like, oh, Lady Kane, Lady Kane. And like, Dakota gets out of it. Dakota looked really cute tonight too. She had very nice gear on.
Yeah, she had a glow up tonight. She was looking to impress someone.
I'm digging like the pink wash she's got in her hair. Just like Candice has that sort of lavender wash in her hair. I'm digging that. I'm liking that.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the women in NXT are doing the wash route. Or at least the fade dye.
Well,
yeah, I kind of prefer.
Go ahead.
I mean, everyone in this match seemed to be trying to impress with the hair. Because you had Shotzi, obviously, who
looks like she's radioactive. Like,
yeah, you got just, that. You got
it's just kind of the thing.
She's got the kind of maroon purple. Mia.
I do like Candace's more subtle, like platinum into color.
It's her evil fade.
Yeah, they just did that lavender over what she had going on, and it was really nice. I don't mind it. I like that they're doing the multicolor hair. I like that they're doing like a balayage or an ombre or whatever they want to do in terms of their hair. I think it looks nice. I don't have a problem with it. It makes them stand out, so that way they're not all like brunette or blonde or redhead or just stock standard. It makes them stand out. It makes them different.
In the end, Tegan got the win. Team Tegan with the W.
Babyfaces. Shiniest wizard.
Baby faces go over.
Which I don't think was a huge surprise.
No, not at all.
But that's okay, because it was a really good match. It was a really enjoyable match.
Good opener.
It was a nice opener.
Yeah, it was pretty, very solid. Enjoyable. Anything else to add on it?
Yeah, not really.
All right. Our next contest is Finn Bálor, Damian Priest. Thoughts opinions.
When did Damian Priest steal Rhea Ripley's pants?
Yeah.
He raided her WrestleMania closet.
I must say he's bad. Like, it's certainly not bad. There was a lot of distracting mesh going on there. But, like, when did he steal her pants? I just need to know.
I don't know if
or borrow.
I don't know if I was a fan of the white on him.
Yeah.
It just seemed odd. Especially for someone who's, you know, with a dark portion of his character going white. It just seemed weird.
I do like the last 5 minutes of this show has been critiquing fashion choices.
Oh, don't worry. I have more fashion critiques later in the show.
There's a lot going on with this show. We have to we critique everything, Omega. We critique the matches, we critique the moves, we critique the intros, and we critique the fashion, okay? We want to give the whole package here.
Because actually a lot of effort does go into how they look, so it's like, you know, hey, call them out on it, because they look cute. I think it was mainly to balance, like, Finn, because Finn was doing all black. So you have, like...
Well, he was sort of in blue a little bit, too.
Yeah, it's very dark blue.
But it's like it's a good, evil, like, dark balance.
I don't know.
I would say that, but is Damian really the good guy?
He's kind of an anti-hero in this. I mean, technically.
Is he the anti-hero?
I thought he's just the flat-out heel, and Finn's kind of the tweener, I'm just here to kick ass and take names kind of guy.
I don't know. Like, that's the thing. This feud was not necessarily defined because it got interrupted, so it's hard to say because coming into this, Finn was the heel.
Well, he was the tweener leaning babyface. Priest was more the he was more tweener. He plays it both ways.
He's just more rough and tumble.
Finn plays it both ways right now. So when you need him to be face, he's face. When you need him to be heel, he's heel.
Finn swings a lot of ways, is what we're learning.
And you can clearly see it when he walks out, and when he gets up on the apron, you see everything swing back. But
right in your face, he just puts it right in your face whole time.
Or on this night, in your house.
God damn it, Rock, you stole it!
And Brent, you had it all wrong. Damian Priest is not your typical heel. He was your very over-the-top cartoonish heel tonight.
Oh, Jesus Christ, his selling. I don't know where he got it from tonight, but apparently he went to the Shawn Michaels WrestleMania School of Selling, because at one point he got hit with a move and he had the quote-unquote jelly legs where he just wobbled in a very cartoonish way, and I looked at it and went, what the hell is wrong with you, son? And he did it a couple of times during this match. It wasn't good for him. It really wasn't.
Overall, this was pretty solid, pretty enjoyable. The bump on the stairs.
Ow.
I mean, it was flat back and it was fine, but it just looks vicious.
It looked like it hurt.
Well, the problem is, it's a regular flat back bump onto the stairs. So for people who are wondering, there was... Priest is on the apron, Finn sends him off the apron, and he just basically falls back onto the first part of the steel steps that were set up there, not the top thin part.
Yeah, the big wide steps.
The base. He hits the base of the steps. The only problem with that, and they showed it on the replay, was, so it's normally just a flat back bump right onto that base. He was about 2 feet past probably where he should have landed, and so he still hit with the flat of his back, but it was more like the kidneys part of it, and he just went right off of it afterwards. And all I saw when that happened was, oh God, he's probably icing his back immediately after this match, and he's probably going to pee some blood. Because that part looked like it hurt like a mother.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But thankfully, he's okay, everybody. He's okay.
Everyone on the show is pretty much okay. In the end, Finn hit the coup de grace, got the victory. Mm-hmm. It was Finn's record-breaking 11th takeover win.
Yeah, very quick to point that out.
So, well, I mean, he points other things out with other things, so, you know, why not point that out as well?
So yeah, they made sure to put that over in the show tonight. This was Priest's best match in NXT, because he had a great worker like Finn to help him in that position. So, overall, enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it's a solid match.
All right. This is where we now talk about Johnny Gargano and his house.
We all know about Johnny Takeover. He took it to a new level tonight.
So he's in his house. He sets this thermostat next to a picture of Doc Hendricks, who they did, in fact, ask to see if Michael Hayes would, in fact, cut his hair to be Doc Hendricks, and he emphatically said no. But the fact that it was brought up to him is a good thing.
The one thing I loved about this with the intro was, if I remember correctly, they ran the package beforehand, setting the match up.
Yeah.
And they talked about the, you know, the Garganos doing their dinner. And when they transitioned to the part for the intro for the match, it was so seamless. It was like, when did the promo end and the intro begin? Because at one point, they're showing the house, and I was just like, oh, okay, they kind of added this to the promo. And then all of a sudden you realize it was like, no, this is, oh shit, he's really going to the ring. Okay. I just like the way it was, the production was seamless with that. Like, you couldn't tell.
It was very well done. Johnny came out, and after, you know, he got to the ring, he made sure to put his keys away properly.
God, he hurt himself tonight somehow.
Oh, he's got his Mandalorian gear. He's fine.
What? Yeah. Before the match, I was messaging people. I was like, earlier today, I was like, so we've seen Johnny come out in all of his dorky wrestling gear, whether it's not he's the Phoenix or Venom or Captain America or whatever. He can't come out as that anymore, being the heel, right? It doesn't fit his style. Asshole showed up as the Mandalorian.
This is the way.
Nothing will stop Johnny from Johnnying.
With the side cape, too. It was just like, oh, you freaking nerd. Candace got her wings. Johnny got his cape. We know who the favorite son and child are in NXT.
I think even if they told him no, they would still do it. What are you talking about? There is no favorite child here. It's just Johnny. Like, Johnny just rolls up with whatever, and he just basically goes to Hunter at this point and goes, Dad, I really want to just make sure it's not copyright infringement and you're fine. Go away. Bye.
You know what, Johnny's the one, he's the kid that goes out and just buys all the stuff anyway, and it's just like, so Dad, I kind of did a thing. Oh God, what did you do now? And he just shows up in it, and Hunter just goes, okay.
So
Sean's smiling in the back.
Yeah. So they're having a pretty solid match at one point, and then Gargano's like, I'm done, I'm out. And he tries to leave, and this is where wrestling nerd Johnny Gargano kicks in. He's trying to knock on the front door to get out. And he can. And then you have the house in 2020 with the front door security camera.
He forgot the keys.
Well, they were in his, by his, you know, junk. He should pull them out.
He was distracted. He just forgot he had the keys there.
He was saving them for later. That's all it was. But they had a pretty good match. It was a little off at times, but...
Yeah, it had good psychology with Johnny working both the hand and the eye throughout the match.
A playoff of what happened on Wednesday.
Right, and kind of, you know, giving the smaller guy, Johnny, a chance against the bigger, more, you know, well, not more agile, but the bigger and agile Keith Lee. Because normally you'd look at this, you'd be like, oh, Johnny's going to get killed. But he did well in working the psychology and making himself feel like he should be in the match. But at times, yeah, I don't know if it was just weird chemistry between the two, but it just felt at times the match was a little off. I can't put my finger on what exactly it was.
Could it be that, you know, Johnny got launched plexiglass?
The 5-minute major through the plexiglass, yeah.
Cross-checking, sorry.
Yeah, the 5-minute major cross-checking through the plexiglass, yeah. So this is the match where the NXT crowd got into it for a lot of it. We had the... Johnny sucks chant to the Darth Vader theme. That was clever.
They did us so proud.
They did Johnny Gargano sucks like they do John Cena sucks.
Gargano sucks. Yeah,
they did all
Gargano
that.
Sucks.
It's great. It was fantastic. They were on top of their game in this matchup. And it really helped the atmosphere. It gave it something extra that this matchup needed. You had Candice get involved, but that was slowly taken away as Mia came out and got rid of her. And this is where Gargano decided, hey, it's time for the key to victory. Pulled out the key from his trunks and poked Keith Lee in the eye, thought he had him done. Oh no. He did not.
You need to sanitize those, especially with where they were.
Oh, so we had some more near falls, but in the end, Keith Lee got the win. Good storytelling. Very entertaining, I think.
Great match.
Yeah. I like matches like this, where it's such a clash of styles, and the little guy's trying to take this Goliath down.
I can't remember the one point where Gargano just kept hitting, I think, the super kick over and over, and at first Keith was just throwing him off at one, like, power, you know, just pressing him off, and then it kept getting closer and closer to three, but he just couldn't finish it off.
Like Keith was selling it a little bit more every time.
Mm-hmm.
So Keith Lee is still your North American champion.
Yay!
No problem with that. A little surprising, but I'm not mad that Keith gets to retain.
And now go to the backlot brawl for the NXT Championship. Adam Cole, baby, and this Undisputed Era-themed pickup truck.
It was so redneck.
It wasn't just a pickup truck. This thing was almost WCW monster truck-esque.
And then you had
they had the flags on it and everything.
Yeah, it's totally not like a Mud Runner truck that we just threw Undisputed Era stickers on at the last minute.
And then Velveteen Dream in his yellow Lamborghini.
I agree with Mauro's comment. I wanted him to pull up in the red Corvette, though. It would have been so nice.
Probably couldn't have gone. They couldn't get one.
They probably couldn't get one. That's probably the only thing.
I know, but it just would have fit so well with the gimmick.
In case you don't know what we're talking about, Dream pulled up dressed as Negan from The Walking Dead, complete with Hollywood Hogan jacket and baseball bat.
Lucille.
He had Lucille. So. And yeah, these two proceeded to have a fight, which basically what this was just like a circle or semicircle of cars around a ring. And they had the perfect record for this. They had Drake. And he's just standing in the ring, smiling, and he's like, I don't care. Just one of you beat the other. There's no rules. Go. I'm here if you need me.
The only rule was the match had to end in the ring. And Drake was sitting there with that giant smile on his face.
Literally, literally started it by saying, I'm just here to end it.
I mean, that's legit. He's just like, that's my sole purpose here. Beyond that, I don't care.
I'm going to watch you two kill each other. Begin.
Like, the only thing that would have made that better is if he was sitting off to the side in the lawn chair with a drink, just waiting.
So they're having a fight at the start, and then out of nowhere, a car pulled up. Someone called an Uber. And they're brawling around the car before the car drives off.
They brawl through the car.
Yeah.
Because for a second I was like, oh God, it's the Luke Harper, I think, Randy Orton stuff all over again, where they just get in the car and they disappear for 20 minutes and then they come back and nobody knows what happened.
Is every time, like, we always have some expectation when a car pulls up. It's like, oh, is the Undisputed Era getting out? Are ninjas going to kidnap Samoa Joe? We don't know anymore. No, this is just an Uber. Random Uber.
Social distancing 101? I don't know.
So Adam Cole's trying to leave. He's trying to get through the building doors. They're all locked. So, you know, that didn't help. And then we got a fire extinguisher. And, you know, that was a throwback spot to old In Your Houses. This was pretty good. You had Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong play in, and as Cole was really in trouble, and he goes, you know what to do, and they start throwing shit in the ring, and...
Yeah, wait. How did Cole get into trouble?
How? Tell us.
Okay.
So Dream sets up decides, out of nowhere, I'm gonna set up a ladder in this backlot brawl. Climbs up, Cole climbs up with him, and Dream proceeds to throw him off the ladder into a car, including the windshield of it. And Cole just looked like he's regretting every life choice at that moment.
Well, because he got a bad cut on his arm because of it.
Yeah,
he went back first into this and cut the side of his arm somehow.
There's a lot of glass on Omega, don't question.
But literally the only cut.
But Cole's just laying there, just, ow, kind of moment. And then some mid-sized car comes rolling up with two-thirds of the remaining Undisputed Era. Still don't know where Kyle is.
He's off filming a movie, they said. That's damn it, Kyle. That's the reason.
You gotta damn it, girl. Kyle, your leader needs you.
So they're trying to help him, and then, well, a chair disappears under the ring, and then, you know, Dexter Lumis decides to roll on up.
And help his man.
And help his man, and got rid of Fish and Strong, leaving it back down to Dream and Cole to finish this whole thing out.
And then he hops in his white Impala, and he speeds off.
Like you do.
Like you do.
You know, you abduct a couple wrestlers, you speed off, and, you know, that's your night.
It's a typical Dexter Lumis night.
And Cole just laid there in the broken windshield the entire time.
Yeah, what'd you do?
Oh, shit, I have to go again? Okay.
He's like, I need a minute. Hold on.
I was expecting that to go another 10 minutes.
God
hang on.
Damn it, guys.
So, Dream hits the Purple Rainmaker through the chair. Got to count, and Dream is taunting and said the era's over, and Cole's dream's about to end, and then, well, Cole gives him a low blow.
Like you do.
And then the Panama Sunrise through the chairs for the 1, 2, 3. Adam Cole continues to reign as your NXT champion.
And Dream can no longer challenge.
Which is interesting. At least as long as Adam Cole is champion. So that would indicate that once Adam Cole is no longer champion.
Yeah,
which,
fair game.
Yeah, it's fair
basically,
game.
Basically, he can't earn a rematch anymore.
Yeah, unless something may be happening with Dream.
Or Adam Cole.
Cole still has the belt.
Cole's here for a while.
You don't know that.
I do. Trust me.
You don't know what he's about.
Trust me, I do. After watching this matchup, I would have been sad if Dream won and Adam Cole's reign ended in this match. I think Adam Cole's reign of terror as champion should end traditionally after watching this.
To a loud group of cheers.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say this, and I take no credit for this because I'm stealing this off a post I saw off the internet, but honestly, the person that should beat Adam Cole should be Candice LeRae.
I tell you, I would not be opposed to that.
She just beats him up and takes his title. I mean, I would be fine with that. Based on their epic feuds that they've had in the past, Candice LeRae just scares him, beats him up, and that's it. She's your new NXT champion.
Well, I was going to say, from what we've seen so far, and they kept talking about, you know, the historic reign of Adam Cole and how the prophecy continues. The question is, who is the one to end the reign?
Who's the one in 20... Whoa, wait. No, that's the wrong thing.
370 how many days and one. But no, like, Keith is busy. Johnny had his chance. And besides, I don't think you're going to do heel right now.
Mm-mm.
No. I mean, you could go WWE logic and have Tommaso go for the belt.
He's a little busy based on what we're going to talk about next.
I mean, you could do Dexter, I guess, but I don't know. It just seems weird putting him into the title picture right now. Yeah.
This is like why I'm kind of getting sick of the Michael. I almost said Michael Cole. I'm a little out of it tonight. It's been a weird night here.
He won at WrestleMania. That doesn't make him a champion.
No, I'm getting tired of the Adam Cole show. I'm tired of the Undisputed Era fucking up every championship match. I'm tired of the heel shenanigans. I want something new. I'm just at that point where it's like, you know what? He's been a great champion. It's gone way too long. I'm tired of it. It's like, if you're not going to give it to Dream, who the hell? Because NXT right now is basically producing stars just to put Adam Cole even more over.
Well, I mean, you could have Karrion Kross decide he wants it. But it's a little early.
It's just how NXT has been run for a long damn time now is, okay, so we'll build up somebody, we'll send him against Adam Cole, they'll lose, and then we'll never speak of it again. And then we build up somebody new, and then they'll lose to Adam Cole, and then we'll just move on again.
I mean, you could do Balor or Priest. You could always put Balor in that spot. Because he's got the credentials. You could have Damian Priest, but he lost tonight. You could have somebody come from our SmackDown and challenge him.
I would say Balor, but I don't know. I think they have the next feud for him kind of lined up. And it was going to roll. And then things got in the way. But I don't know. You could do Balor. You could have him try to reclaim his throne.
I think they're trying to just do what they can do based on who's available to them, like who they can bring in to work for that particular show and have them commit to working for a month or 6 weeks or however long it's going to take to get to the next, to get to the payoff of the feud. So I think that's what they're working with right now, is they're trying to figure out what they want to say for when they have the crowds back and they can do things in front of a live crowd. And then they're trying to figure out what they can do now and get away with now. And that's what's kind of sort of throwing a kink in everything, because it's like there's a lot of stuff you can tell they want to pull the trigger on. They want to go ahead and do it, but they can't, or they won't, because they want that, and this is no offense to the NXT wrestlers, but they want the real live audience there. They want the fans there. They want them to be loud. They want to be in that 5,000 to 10,000 seat arena and just have them go nuts.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they want.
You know, they want the audio. They want the cheers. They want the people going nuts behind them. They want footage they can package later.
Yeah.
It's like here's the highlight reel, or one day here's the Hall of Fame reel. You know, Drew McIntyre's first championship win in front of nobody. You know, if he goes to the Hall of Fame someday, that's going to be really dull. You know, when you get to that part of his legacy.
Well, but you could always edit stuff in later. I mean, it doesn't have to be dull, but I get your point.
You know who could have stepped in to be Cole's next challenger? Mm. It would have been easy. It would have been good. Had they not just moved him to SmackDown?
Bro.
Honestly, that could have just been packaged and just rolled right out.
I mean, there's nothing saying that they won't. Because apparently things got delayed on that or something like that. So they could very easily have Matt Riddle go back and basically challenge Cole if they needed him to. They could send anybody down from our SmackDown, and, you know, case in point to Charlotte, to kind of carry that brand for a little while if Cole needs a break. Or you could have Roderick Strong have enough. And now's his time, although technically tonight would have been his night to do it, but he turns on Adam Cole and the boys and he decides to go for the title. Or he's put in that position and his loyalties get questioned because he wants to go for the title. They have scenarios there. They're not the best scenarios, but they have the scenarios if they need to.
Yeah.
So, any final thoughts on this?
No, I think we covered it.
Okay, moving on. Where we're just going to talk about how amazing Scarlett Bordeaux looked.
Oh.
Karrion Kross versus Tommaso Ciampa with Scarlett Bordeaux accompanying Karen. Brent, go.
Holy shit, what was she wearing tonight? Because, I'm sorry, she's just... For those of you who may or may not have seen her at Impact, she can work. She is a trained wrestler, but holy shit, she's hot. And tonight she came out in, I think, what Lindsay would call a cat suit.
Yes, that would be a cat suit.
But
it's
looked
not
like,
latex.
No, it wasn't latex. It looked like it was more whole than it was costume. But no worries, it looked amazing on her.
So just to clarify, it was a cat suit that had almost looked like black lattice on it or fishnet. On it, but it wasn't fishnet. It just had that fishnet pattern to it, that contour to her body and hit in all the right perfect places. That was a little sparkly, and then it was lined underneath, so obviously nothing was hanging out. But that's what she was wearing, and then
she looks like she's wearing a black spider web.
Basically. But in a good way. In Very a good. Really good way.
Well, the thing is, we knew from the first time we saw the entrance, it's like, okay, so you've got Karrion, who's the big, imposing, I'm going to kill you. And then you've got Scarlett there as the 80s rock and roll vixen, essentially. I mean, I don't want to demean it, but it's like that's how she kind of comes across with that intro. And she just kind of commands presence in doing it. But yeah, the intro was great. She looked amazing. And Karrion just looks like an utter fucking monster.
Yeah, he is getting such a huge push. Like that's such an enormous thing for them to do right out of the gate. Like that's Owens beating Cena clean on Raw level of just oh shit.
In the middle of Tommaso call himself the main event, Karrion Kross came in and destroyed the main event, and you
was like, going in, you thought, okay, maybe they'll go 15, 20 minutes, have that, you know, Ciampa-Gargano-style matchup. Oh, no. Ciampa got offense in, but he got his ass kicked along the way.
Yeah, it wasn't a pure squash match, which I think everyone kind of knew it wasn't going to be. Ciampa got his moves in. He hit, you know, Willow's Bells and a couple of other things. He got the running knee in. But Cross just looked ridiculous in this match. Like, we've seen Ciampa take a beating with Johnny, but that's someone his size. We've never seen someone bigger than him just ragdoll him.
That's pretty much what happened.
And it was good to see. It was the right finish. Ciampa didn't need to win. Karrion Kross needed to be put over strong. He needed to look menacing. He needed to look destructive. Because now it's, you're not looking for him to go 20, 30 minutes with a talent. You need him to run through people and destroy some people and actually make a statement if he's going to be the next guy to lead the brand. A loss for Tommaso doesn't do anything to him. This more helped Karrion get over than it would hurt Tommaso in the long run.
Yeah, this was purely about establishing and setting Karrion up for the future, and I'm completely fine with that. I wish this had been a little bit longer, just because my own natural curiosity is what can Karrion really do, but I know that's going to come eventually, where he will meet his match, and then he is going to have to actually fight, and then we get to see what he can really do. But in the meantime, he's just going to come in and mess dudes up, and that's it. And I'm completely fine with that.
Yeah, like you said, it's not going to hurt Tommaso. And I mean, if you do happen to have him face Cross again in the future, you can have Tommaso hunt him, essentially. Going into this match, he wasn't hunting him. He was just the prey. And dear God, he was the prey tonight. But at least, like I say, if you want to build this up, if you want to have Tommaso take him on later on, you can have him be like, you know, he faced him before. He knows what he's capable of. But does Karrion know what Tommaso is truly capable of? Because going into this, it could have been like, oh, I'm just going to have a match with him. The next time they meet, it could be a fight, or it could be one of those things where Tommaso feels his back is against the wall. And we all know that's not good for whoever Tommaso's facing.
Mm-mm. Absolutely not. So any final thoughts on that one?
Just to make it clear, he made him pass out. So Tommaso didn't tap. He didn't, you know, get pinned. He passed out. So it's like, okay, at least he's able to save some face by passing out in the Cross jacket. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, moving on from there, in your main event, which is the first time the women have main evented since Bayley and Charlotte did it.
Sasha.
I'm sorry, Bayley and Sasha.
At
I'm looking at Charlotte's name.
Bayley versus Sasha at NXT Respect, when they went 30 minutes in the Iron Woman match.
Which was still good. Anyway, you have Charlotte Flair, your champion, taking on Rhea Ripley and Io Shirai in a triple threat match. This was so good.
Okay, so I'm going to get the negative out of the way right off the start. Rhea, what's up with the black and white boots? Like, it was so distracting. The white boot doesn't go with your gear. It was so out of place. Like, I know that
it's
was
like she lost her left boot.
Pretty much. It's like, here's part of my prior Mania gear with the white boot, and here's my other gear with the black boot. It didn't match. It was so distracting. I'm sitting here looking. I was like, why is she wearing two color boots?
I got new boots on order. They only sent one.
Looked so weird.
Yeah, it was a little strange.
So the crowd in attendance go to Charlotte, you don't go here.
God damn it, NXT crowd.
And then she's like, I made here. They don't care.
And then she's like, this is my house. You two are my guests. I mean, she's not wrong.
She's not right either. She's sort of renting the house at this point, because
it's a timeshare.
It's a timeshare. She has another house that she lives at too. So, you know, I mean, she can definitely have more than one. There's nothing wrong with that. But is it really her house? I mean, is it really?
I mean,
when she just kind of comes in and takes somebody's title and is there for a couple months and then she's going to leave?
I mean,
really your house?
I mean, she rented. She tried it out. See if she liked it still. I mean, you know how that goes. So this was really good. All three women worked really well together. They brawled by the in the front yard by the house. They went everywhere and they put on a hell of a main event.
Io took a dive off the top of the house.
Okay, here's the complaint.
Io likes to jump. Period.
She does.
That's what I learned in this match.
She's the Shane McMahon of the NXT Women's Division.
Okay. They let her fly.
They did. She is the genius of the sky. So my biggest complaint about that, where she came off the top of the house, a la Shawn Michaels, was they put the spotlight up a second too early.
Yeah. she got thrown through the window. Well, window.
Yeah.
And then Charlotte and Rhea were fighting in the front lawn. And then, yeah, all of a sudden it just like behind them just illuminated a little bit. And you're like, what's going on? And then the camera pans up and she's situating herself on the roof.
The production was off on that. It's like, you could have waited 5 more seconds and then put the spotlight when actually they realized she was up there. A little off. But that's okay.
It's fine.
It was fine. It was good. They went out of their way to put over everyone in this matchup. Everyone got some good stuff in. You had some great close finishes. You had Rhea hook in the prism chat. Is it prism trap? I think
her prism
reverse
trap.
Her reverse cloverleaf. And then Charlotte came in and started whacking people with a stick, which was great. And then you have Charlotte in control. She locks in the figure eight and she's about to retain the NXT Women's Championship. Io Shirai says nope. Hits the moonsault on Rhea Ripley. 1, 2, 3. And
which is pretty, by the way.
And your new NXT Women's Champion, Io Shirai.
I mean, it wasn't so much the moonsault as it was like a backflip knee right to her head.
Then you had all the confetti. Everyone was happy. She got her picture with Hunter later. You know, good ending. Babyface went over.
She got the New Japan celebration.
Woohoo!
All the streamers, all the confetti.
You gotta put her over. They did.
Yep. Stardom can wait.
Yeah. Like genuinely surprised. Like after Charlotte cashed in Money in the Bank to claim the NXT Championship, I was really expecting more. I was expecting a longer reign.
You mean WrestleMania?
WrestleMania. Sorry.
Well, part of that probably happened because a certain horsewoman got knocked up, and they need her back on a certain show.
yeah, Becky going out on maternity leave is, I think, throwing a wrench in a lot of plans.
Called a hunch. I think she got brought back up because
you need a face.
You need a star on Monday Night Raw every week, and yeah,
you need somebody to be able to go against Asuka. And while they have a very very good division up there, they just Asuka versus Charlotte. You don't lose on that anytime you do it. So.
Which you'll see on Monday Night Raw tonight.
If you're listening to this on a Monday.
Well, they would be because, yeah, on a Monday.
Well, you don't know. A lot of people will download this on Monday, hopefully, but some may download it throughout the week. You don't know.
Okay.
You don't know when they're going to listen to it.
On Monday Night Raw this week.
He's just making assumptions about people's lives. But I just have to say one thing about this match. I picked it right. I picked it right. I picked it right.
Look. We are all happy that Io Shirai won. I don't think any of us are disappointed that Io Shirai finally gets a chance to run with that belt.
Oh no, I'm ecstatic.
Some of us just thought that a finish might have happened differently. But again, we are all really happy that Io Shirai was able to get the belt.
Yeah.
It just, when we were picking this, it just felt like, it's like, God, I really, like I said, I really wanted her to win this match. Like, because she has earned, she's more than earned a shot at carrying that title and being the champion in that company. And I feel like just other people came before her and she kind of fell by the wayside. She got hurt and they came back and they never really had a place for her. And she's been doing what she's been doing for, it feels like a year. I can't even judge time anymore because reasons. I don't know how long she's been a heel. The days bleed together.
It's been about a year because, yeah, she turned on Candace.
She turned on Candace.
Who's now a heel.
They can be friends again.
But Io's
kind of a tweener.
She's
now.
Yeah, she's more face now. Like, she went from being dark and heelish to now tweener face-ish.
Yeah, she went heel long enough to get an edge. And then she just, I don't know, got cool again.
Sort of like actual edge.
She had a moment, okay? She had a moment. She's calmed back down now. She's fine.
I mean, that's like the Becky Lynch way. It's like, I'm supposed to turn heel, but I just got badass and awesome.
I'm supposed to turn heel, but the fans don't want to go with it.
The fan said, F that, we love you, keep doing what you're doing. And so they finally listened to us, thank God. But yeah, with Io,
you go queen,
you go off. With Io, it's kind of the same thing. It's like she's been really busting her butt over the past year. And it's like, God, I really want to see her as champion, especially when she was facing Shane and everything. It's like, God, I really want to see her win, and they just never did it. And so I'm super happy for her that tonight they not only gave her the title, but they gave her this ultra huge celebration with all the confetti in the world, or at least in the state of Florida, it feels like. And she got the point, she got everything, so I just hope she's happy. She looks happy, but I hope she's thrilled, because she definitely deserves it.
So, Brett?
Yes.
Your job.
Ah, yes. So pick 'em.
How'd I do?
You didn't submit picks. So Omega got last place at 0-0, right there with the Subway.
You went 500?
I didn't get any wrong, though.
But you didn't get any right.
Yep. So Subway and Omega officially 0-0. In eighth place, with a record of 2-4, we have The Wheel.
Yay! Oh, yeah. We have a new gimmick. We have a wheel.
An MMA ball.
We have the 8-ball,
yes.
Too.
There's the 8-ball.
He's just piling up inanimate objects.
Yes.
He's subjecting us to things.
It's all visual, too. I can put it on the stream and everything. It's perfect.
Yeah. There's a wheel. It has sounds. It's a thing.
It's a thing.
It's a wheel of misfortune.
Now, tied with the wheel, Sloan Jobber. Jobber went 2-4.
Nice.
In sixth place is Matt and me at 3-3.
Wait. Repeat that. Want to hear that one again?
Okay. In sixth place was Matt and me at 3-3.
I hear Matt, but what was the other? Who also finished that spot?
I don't know. Some intern.
Okay. Just making it clear.
Yeah. I was hoping for 2 title changes, and that did not happen tonight.
Good job, GGs.
Yeah. In third place, tied, we have Rock at 4-2. We're tied with Rob.
Okay.
So I hope you feel good about that.
I do.
And the 8-ball.
Cool.
You tied with the treacherous whore 8-ball.
Good. Glad.
And then tied for first place, we have a women's revolution going on. Lindsay, 5-1. Her only one that she didn't get right was the Dream.
I will.
And she also tied with Jenna.
Well done.
We're number two.
So just as for an example of how over the top this wheel can get, I'm going to let you all hear it for a second.
If you do not use that for when we do anything involving either Drew McIntyre or Sheamus, I will be exceptionally disappointed in you.
What? Why does a segment of this sound like one of Jack Swagger's old themes?
Yeah, I was going to say, Lindsay, I thought that should be used for Baron Corbin. The whole pomp and circumstance, you know, for the king.
He's a false king.
I mean, it would give him some personality for once.
What's Nothing really to give sad?
Baron Corbin personality.
No, what's really sad is when he does like anything outside of WWE, he's actually really entertaining. He's just one of those that it just does not translate onto TV. I don't know what it is. It's kind of like what Roman had going on for a while, where Roman just, he was funny and he was engaging and he was charismatic in every interview that he did. And then you put him on TV and it was like, wah, wah, wah. Corbin's kind of the same way. Like, you watch Corbin on Up, Up, Down, Down, or you watch him on Twitch, or you watch him anywhere else, and he's generally entertaining. Put him on TV and it's like he's better as King Corbin. He just doesn't have a direction. Like, they have nothing for him.
And we have the new version of that as Damian Priest.
Yes, but he's sluttier, so it's okay.
With Rhea's pants.
Hey, a little mesh and fishnet never hurt anybody.
Oh, no. I have seen fishnet hurt a few people.
Okay, fine. Fishnet doesn't hurt everybody. Just some people. But anyway, awkward. That does it for NXT TakeOver In Your House. Everybody, tune in Thursday night for the Backlash preview, which is airing this Sunday, on the WWE Network. And then next week, we will be reviewing Backlash on the regular show. It will not be a pre-record. We just had scheduling conflicts because NXT has gone to Sundays, and WTR, which airs 10 p.m. on Sunday nights, is on. So we can't review while they're on air. So we have to pre-record NXT. Put it back on Saturdays. Then we can do it live.
I think the next one should be on Saturday, considering the fact that it's before SummerSlam.
They could compete with SummerSlam. They could air them both at the same time. You don't know. But anyway, people have stuff to plug. So Omega, plug your stuff.
Okay, my stuff can be found under one name. It can be found under, well, unless you want to check me out over on Facebook, then go check for TJ Reviews. Everything else is TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel. And for TJOmega.net, you get a little bit more video, because that's kind of my thing.
All right.
So you can usually find me blowing myself up with a boomstick or rocket launcher, as we like to call it, in Fortnite with friends on the network Thursdays and Saturday nights. You can also find me on CB Radio Saturday night after Fortnite with friends. Why? I don't know. But usually part of the Greater Than Great Debate. Yay! And if you want to see any of my ramblings online, you can find me on Twitter at Kane Kittens.
All right. Rock, take a deep breath and just go.
Before I go, Randy Orton on Twitter. Heard NXT TakeOver in your house was great. Slapping my leg for you guys. Sincerely. # leg slap. Oh, Randall. Anyway, Monday night's Raw push 11 p.m. Houston Rack, as Lindsay mentioned, will be live. If there's Thursday night's 10 p.m. Houston Super Radio, Saturday night, midnight night, superlive.com, greatdebate.com. Wrestle Talk Radio airs on Sunday nights. It'll probably be on there about 9:30 p.m. next week, because I would assume Backlash goes 2.5 hours. Since. That's just me. That's me calling it a hunch. We'll see, though. Or it'll be 10 p.m. No later than that. You can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, Rack Radio Show on all your favorite social media platforms, and all your podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, you name it, it's all there. You can use creator code RocketSock at the 499 shop, #@, #GiveItPartner, and as Lindsay mentioned at the top of the show, you can use your Twitch Prime subs right here at twitch.tv/WTALive, but you do the show by linking your Amazon account to your Twitch account, it's called Twitch Prime, and just hit the purple rectangle button right under the screen on twitch.tv/WTOLive.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias and on Twitch at Lins Ward, LANSWARD. If you follow me on Twitch and we get to affiliates, you get fish butts, sexy, sexy fish butts. So, you know, do the thing, follow the channel, and also check out mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. So everybody, thank you so much for tuning in, for listening. We will be back Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, with the regular show previewing Backlash. And if you're listening to this on a Monday, prior to 11 p.m. Eastern, tune into the Raw Post Show, because we'll be there. It'll be live. So, till then, we'll send the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com with Omega and Brent and Rock and me. And we'll see you later. Bye!